Okay. So, I'm just kind of curious. How many of you guys are from this church? Raise your hand. Okay, we got one. How many of you guys are from South Porcupine Pentecostal? Any of those? Anybody from Airport Road Pentecostal? Anybody from French Pentecostal? Anybody from Grace? There we go. Got a few. All right. Anybody from First Baptist?
Woo!
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit of self-promotion there. I like to see all the different youth groups. For those of you guys who don't know me, my name is Aaron. I am the youth pastor at First Baptist Church. So that's my full-time job that I get to do that there. It's a huge blessing. I can't tell you how awesome it's been. I've been working there for about 5.5, coming on 6 years now. And yes, I did lose my hair while doing that job. Yeah. That I'll blame on you guys over here. It's your fault.
Blame on Devontae.
I haven't been there for the whole time.
Flash my kids. Anyways, so today I've been asked to kind of talk about this topic called Always Be Ready. And it's just what that's about is giving an account for your faith. And we're going to go into a passage that talks specifically about that in Scripture. And just kind of want to give you guys some pointers. A little bit of, I don't know, reasons why people don't share their faith in high school and reasons and ways that we can accomplish this together, okay? This is something that's really that people have been struggling with a lot. I remember back when I was in high school, I struggled with this as well, sharing my faith with my friends who weren't Christians, living a Christ-like lifestyle in high school. You know, have you guys ever heard of the term that the double life? Anybody heard of that? Raise your hand if you've heard of that word, that term, double life. So we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. But first, before we do, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of my testimony about how I got to where I am today and just a little bit about myself and my family. So I was raised at First Baptist Church. I say raised. More so, we started going there about when I was 4. So as far back as I can remember, I went to First Baptist Church in Timmins, okay? And I was born and raised in Timmins. We went through, my parents were very influential in that church. My dad is kind of responsible for bringing in the drums and the electric guitar. Yes, that's how far back. You know, my dad walked up to the pastor, he's like, can we get a drum set? Can we get an electric guitar? He's like, fine, just bring a whole band up there. Who cares? And so eventually we built... My family built up, you know, our music set and everything like that. My family's very influential in that. My dad was on the was a deacon at our church. I didn't even know that. He was a deacon for 6 years. So this is like a position, higher up position of leadership. And so, yeah, just really being saturated in church culture my whole life growing up. But that doesn't mean that I had a strong faith myself. And I'm sure that some of you can relate with this. There's really a point in your life where you have to say, okay, I need to make my faith my own, and I can't believe based on my parents' beliefs anymore. I remember, my mom told me a story, she told me this like last year, I don't even remember doing this, but in like grade three or four, I came home and they started teaching us about evolution in science class. And I came home and I said, Mom, God doesn't exist. The teachers told me that we all came from this soup. And she's like, well, okay, oh boy, this is a serious conversation we're going to have now. And I completely abandoned the idea of God. Raised in the church. Just like that. My teacher told me, Mom, you're wrong. No, God doesn't exist. I don't remember doing that, but apparently I came home and said that. And then we had a conversation. And thankfully, that's not where things ended. So I used to live that double life, is what I'm getting at. Until I was about in grade 10 when I really solidified my own faith, my own relationship with Jesus, I lived that double life. So I would go to school and I would try to act the same way as everybody else. I don't know if some of you have experienced this. I was bullied when I was in school from grade 1 all the way up to grade 8. And I was telling my youth in our last week's lesson that, or last night, Thursday night, I was telling my youth that how I beat my bullies is I actually befriended them. I had a church bully and a school bully, and I befriended them both. They both became really good friends of mine. One became my best friend. So if you ever want to beat your bullies, just make them your best friends. Little side note. But anyways, I was bullied in school, and at church. And what I wanted to do when I was living this double life, I wanted to become popular. That's what I wanted. I wanted to hang out with the kids who were really popular, go out to their houses, and hang out. And that's what I was trying to achieve, basically from grade 1 all the way up to grade 10. And that was really what my school life was about. And I had friends. It's not like I didn't have friends. But my friends, you know, we were all kind of like, you know, the people that nobody really hates, but they're not really popular? That was me and my group of friends. And it's a great place to be. I'm so happy I was there now. But I wasn't satisfied. So I lived that double life. I swore at school. I went out and did stupid stuff with my friends, like vandalism. We would go out around Timmins and vandalize stuff. I did all sorts of stuff that I shouldn't have been doing as a person who was raised in the church, as somebody who has been taught the values of Christianity. And then in grade 10, I went to a place, well, I grew up going to a place called Northline Bible Camp. Anybody ever been there? All right. I counseled / lifeguarded / maintenanced. Some of you may have experience with this. I did that for 2 summers. I've been heavily involved in that camp growing up. It's a fantastic camp. Anyways, I went there again in grade 10 for youth camp. Grade 9 leading into grade 10, I guess. And there was this message, and the pastor was just talking about how this double life thing, and just, are you really, really willing to take a stand, to be ready to share your faith with the world? And I said to myself, you know what, God, I'm done. I'm done living the double life. I want to be a youth pastor, and this is where I'm going. And that's it. That's my testimony. Fast forward to now, I'm still a youth pastor. So, defending the faith was something that I had to develop and learn, though. This is really important for you guys to get. So, what are some of the number one reasons why you guys think people don't share their faith? Just throw me some reasons.
Like, they don't want to be made fun of.
So, you don't want to be made fun of, right? That's one. Anything else? Why wouldn't you share your faith?
They're afraid of being shut down while they're doing
this. Yeah, so somebody's just going to be like, okay, stop right there. You know, that's, I don't believe in fairy tales. That kind of thing, right? That's a popular thing that people say.
It might conflict with other people's beliefs.
Conflict with other beliefs, for sure. Definitely. So if you're talking to somebody you don't know that they're, they could be Islamic or whatever, and you're preaching the gospel to them, and they come back with, well, this is what I believe. And then what do you do then, right? So that's complicated. Anything else? Why wouldn't you share your faith? Yeah, so it's like just a lack of training, right? A lack of understanding. Maybe you don't even feel that you're biblically equipped. You don't know enough about the Bible to be able to, you know, share your faith with somebody. This all connects back to really important stuff that we're going to be talking about. But first, let's read. I'm going to read in 1 Peter 3, 8-17. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there, and I'm going to turn there with you. So turn your Bibles on, or most of you guys are probably going to turn your Bibles on instead of actually turning in. Oh, look! Paperback's still the best, guys. Seriously. I don't like using it on the phone, but it's easier for teaching. So 1 Peter 3, 8-17. All right, so I'm going to read to you guys. It says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good, than for doing evil. Okay? So, that's a mouthload, and what we're trying to communicate there, what is Peter trying to communicate? Well, what he's trying to communicate is, you guys need to be ready, and always willing to give a defense, to give a reason for what you believe. Whatever it is. I would challenge those of you who are struggling with your faith, who may not even believe in God, you need to get your worldview solidified. I hope that your worldview would be found in Christ. But you need to give a reason for what you believe. You need to give a reason for the purpose behind your whole life. If you don't know what that is, that's going to affect your mental health, that's going to affect your relationships, and it's going to affect what decisions you make in life. Because if you don't know your worldview, you don't know why you're here, or what you're doing here on planet Earth, you're going to be a very confused individual. So I want to help you guys to develop ways in which you can share your faith with people. So that's what we read there, 1 Peter. I'll bring it up there for you guys, and then I'll skip right past it. All right. So living out your faith, verses 18 to 12, that's so important for us to get. Okay, so there are three reasons why people don't share their faith. Okay? And that's the double life. The double life is the big part of it. Okay, there's three reasons why people will live this double life. And so I don't know if you guys know who this is. Anybody know who that is?
Two-Face.
That's Two-Face, right? So if you ever watch Batman, you'll see Two-Face in there. Yes, one half of his face is really mangled. Try not to focus on that too much. But Two-Face is a guy who was his name was Harvey Dent, and he was like a really solid guy, and then a horrible accident happened to him, and it burned half his face, and he developed a twin personality. And so he was actually, he's the image, the epitome of somebody who literally lives a double life. One person is trying to make decisions, while the other half of this person is making really evil decisions. And they're fighting against each other while they're fighting Batman, okay? So this is a kind of a cool example of someone who really struggles with the double life. But the funny thing is that a lot of us, we have that side to us. It's not showing, but we have that side to us, that evil side, that we're constantly fighting with, that we can't seem to beat. And if we're not careful, if we're not solidifying ourselves in Christ, when we go to school, I know you guys struggle with this, everyone struggles with this. When you go to school, you tweak who you are just a little bit. Just enough so that people don't make fun of you. Just enough so that you don't have to say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. You know, just enough so that people won't even ask you religious questions, right? And that's called living a double life. So there are three main reasons. You guys touched on them a little bit. When you're living a double life, this is the first thing your friends will see, by the way. Is when they hear, oh, so-and-so is a Christian, they're going to look at that and they're going to see, why are they acting this way then? Like, why are they coming to a party with me and getting wasted on the weekend? Why are they not honest? Like, if they think I'm going to hell, shouldn't they tell me that? This is the first thing they're going to see. They're going to see the double life. And it makes giving a defense difficult. Okay? So when you're living a double life, it makes giving a defense for your faith really difficult. Because the first thing they're going to do is they're going to say, okay, you're telling me that Jesus is Lord and all this stuff and that, you know, I should live this way, but you're not living this way. So why should I live a life that's, you know, why shouldn't I drink and, you know, have sex and do all this stuff when you're also doing it? And you're calling yourself a Christian. Isn't God just okay with us doing anything then? So there's another thing that people will struggle with. And a genuine faith points people to Christ. So here's the three main reasons why people will avoid sharing their faith. Why people will live a double life. Okay, there's three reasons people don't share. The first one is fear. And you guys touched on that with your answers. You're afraid of being persecuted. The second one is apathy. This is probably one of the biggest struggles that we have in our Canadian culture today in the church. This thing called apathy. A lot of people aren't really necessarily afraid to share their faith. They just don't care. They don't care to share their faith with their friends. They're not thinking about the consequences of not sharing their faith. Right? How many of you guys on a regular basis look at your friends who aren't Christians at school and you say, what's going to happen if I don't share my faith with them? And no one shares their faith with them. What's going to happen if this trend continues? Does anybody have an answer to that? I think we know, right? But we don't think about that. We go to school, and we do our schoolwork, and we do whatever. And we just, that's apathy. Apathy just means a lack of empathy. You're just not, you don't care about what is going to happen. And then the last one is unfaithfulness. You're struggling yourself with believing. So you're feeling guilty about the idea of sharing your faith with somebody because you yourself are struggling with unfaithfulness. Okay? Now, if you guys are struggling in one of these areas, I'm not here to guilt trip you into action, okay? What I'm trying to do is just to show you three reasons, the main three reasons why people struggle with this, all right? And if you think you're in one of those categories, the funny thing is fear, okay? Fear is usually where it starts for most people. You start off with, oh man, I'm terrified about what's going to happen if I share my faith. That leads to apathy because you're starting out fearful, and then eventually you just train yourself not to share your faith, and then you just stop thinking about it, right? So eventually you're just like, well, this is fine. This is what I'm doing, and it's all good. And then that can often lead to unfaithfulness because when you stop caring about faith, you stop caring about sharing the faith, it'll affect your faith. Because if God is real and God commands you to do this, if God gave us the Great Commission, then that should be a core, integral part of who you are as a Christian. Okay? So just to let you know, this is the direction that you are headed if you are struggling with that. And I struggled with that in high school, okay? And it did affect my faith. All the way until I left high school, I struggled with this. You know, people noticed that I was different and they would ask me why. I was like, well, you know, I go to church. And I had a group of friends in grade 11 and 12. They were known as, well, for instance, my brother and I were in a band with a bunch of our friends in grade 12. Trevor will know this. And we were all Christians, okay? Except for one person who was named Christian. Seriously, I'm not kidding. He was the only one who didn't believe in God. But we were all Christians in this band, okay? But these friends, they would go out to parties, they would get drunk, they would do whatever. And the band, like the band house, they'd like hotbox the sauna in the band house. If you know what that means, they would literally smoke pot in the sauna in that house that they had. One of our friend's dad had a house that he would let our band just use. So imagine that, a house where there's no adults living there, and you have it to yourself every day, any day you want, and you just have to eat. It's a huge house. Okay, so imagine what happens when you have that kind of a thing as a teenager and you're in a band and you're practicing there and people want to come over for parties and so on and so on. I made sure that when I was younger, this is when my faith, when in grade 10, my faith really started to change. I made sure that I would not partake in any alcohol or any drugs, and I stayed true to that. I would go to these hangouts and I would sit there and I wouldn't do anything. I would just hang out. They'd be smoking pot and drinking, and I would say, guys, I'm not going to do that. First of all, I'm not going to drink until I'm of age, and I'm not going to do drugs. And they were like, wow, okay, cool. So Aaron's like the guy who is like the God-like guy. Like, he's really Christian, you know? We're the Christians who are kind of like just okay with everything. But Aaron's like that Christian who's really, really following the Bible. And believe it or not, it had a positive effect. We were able to hang out and do that together. So that's three reasons why people don't share. And it's so important for you guys to stay true to your beliefs and stay true to the actions of your beliefs. Because when you're in situations like that, like I was in, where you literally have a house to yourself and you can do whatever you want, that's really when your faith is going to be challenged. Okay? These situations are going to come. So, second thing that I want you guys to understand is this. You should expect persecution. So if you look at verses 13 and 14 in that passage, it says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. Okay, so verse 13 and 14. When you witness to somebody, You are breaking one of the biggest social rules in our culture today. So this is a kind of a how-to guide on how to witness. The first thing you need to realize is that suffering is going to happen. Okay? If you're going to witness, expect persecution. Okay? Just to let you know. Okay, so expect persecution when you witness, because you are breaking one of the biggest social rules in our culture today. What's one of the big, what is this rule in our culture today? Can anybody kind of point this out to me? It's kind of like a sentence, a very popular sentence today. Can anybody think about what it is? You don't have to get it exactly right.
It's fine. You believe it, you want to believe it.
You hit it on, you hit the nail on the head, right there. That's, how many of you have heard that sentence before? Right? You can believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe. Right? And everybody's okay. You're breaking that rule, by the way, when you go up to somebody and you say, well, actually, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So when you're saying Christianity is the only way to heaven, you're breaking that social rule. And it's a big social rule right now. You do not tell somebody else that their beliefs are wrong right now. It is just social, and that's important to remember. But what's going to happen if you tell somebody that and they take it the wrong way? Yeah, you'll get punched right in the face. He'll lay the beat down on you. Like, you're going to be socially rejected, right? You'll become a social outcast to that person. Because, wait a minute, you're not fitting into culture right now. You're telling me what I don't want to hear. You're telling me that if I don't believe in your God, I'm going to go to hell. Right? How many of your friends would respond well to that? So this is, but the thing is, guys, is they need to hear it. They need to hear it. They need to hear it. So you have to expect persecution. When you witness to somebody, you're challenging their core worldview, okay? And that's what I'm talking about. You know, like, have you guys ever been to, isn't there still a class at TH or at your high school or schools or whatever it's called, worldviews? Where you, like, religion and worldviews?
Yeah.
Okay. I took that class. So that class in high school is actually designed to help you develop a worldview, a personal worldview. So they teach you about all these different religions, and they kind of tell you all the different stuff. Science class is designed to develop a worldview. I don't know if you realize that. They're teaching you a worldview in science class when they teach you evolution. That's a worldview. Like, that will define who you are as an individual. Because if you believe in evolution, then there's no real purpose in life, and God's rules don't apply. Right? That affects your worldview. If you believe in Buddha, then you believe, depending on how good you act, you'll ascend to a higher level. So you'll try to do good deeds in order to become one with the universe. That'll affect your worldview. If you believe in Allah, who is a Muslim god, then that'll affect your worldview. If you believe in Jesus, that'll affect your worldview. How you act, what you do. So when you guys witness to your friends, you are challenging that worldview if they're not Christians. And obviously, if you're witnessing, they're not Christians, right? So you're challenging them. And they won't like that. They won't like that if you're challenging them. So they're going to, you know, your worldview can offend some people. And, maybe you guys should just all, maybe if we want to prepare ourselves and prepare others for these conversations, we should just kind of throw on a t-shirt that says, what I'm about to say may offend you. And then you walk up to them and you say, hi. And they're like, okay, what's about to happen here? You know, like, you can maybe, there's ways you could prepare. And, you know, wearing a t-shirt is probably not the best way. But, you know, the thing is that this is a reality at your school. And another thing I understand is when you guys are trying to witness to your friends, it's not like all your friends are hanging out alone in different sections of the, you know, what do you call it, the cafeteria, right? They're going to be hanging out in groups. So when you go in and you're like, unless you walk up to so-and-so and say, hey, Wilfred, can I come over here? Can I talk to you alone? You're going to have to kind of witness in front of other people, right? Because there's, like, if I remember TH, there were like 1,500 students going there when I went there. It was packed to the nines. And, yeah, they were just expelling kids who, like, lied to a teacher. It was so overpacked. But anyways, when you walked into that school, it was people everywhere. And it's like, okay, God, how am I supposed to have a conversation with somebody in this mess? Like, I only have so much time and so much opportunity, and they're hanging out with their friends on lunch break because that's literally like the 45 minutes we get to do something with each other other than schoolwork, you know, unless you have to spare or something. So you have to figure that out. You have to figure out how you're going to do that. But you need to expect persecution, something you guys need to understand. The next thing you need to remember is to be gentle. And this is kind of, it's funny because this is kind of how the passage ends off when it comes to sharing your faith. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. How many of you guys have had a friend who is a Christian and they really suck at this? I've had experience with that. Where somebody, you know, like, well, you'll be hanging out with your friends and, you know, you've been really been working. Maybe you do witness and you've been working on it for a long time and you've got this buddy of yours and you've been slowly working your way in with gentleness and respect, trying to get to the position of having this conversation, right? And this other friend comes in and they just say, if you're not a Christian, you're going to hell! And you are just doing all sorts of evil things and you heathen. You know, like, you don't like... There are people who come in high school and do that. I've had experiences with a friend who went in and did that. And I was like, what are you doing? You just destroyed my whole witness to this person. Like, what are you doing? That happens, where somebody will come in with the fire and the brimstone right off the bat and ruin a relationship. That's why, by the way, it's in the Bible, be gentle. Okay? So what does that look like? What do you guys think that looks like, to be gentle in having conversations with people about faith? Talk nice, yeah.
Establish a friendship with them first.
Maybe kick it off with a friendship. Yeah, for sure. Anything else? Respect their decision. That's actually really good, Devontae. You want to respect their decision. So say you come up to them and you say, hey, you know, can I have this conversation with you? And what do you think about God? And you're like, well, I don't want to talk about that. Conversation, right?
Yeah.
For now. And you have to respect that. I've had, we really try to push with our, especially church youth, to invite your friends to youth group. And I've had some youth come up to me and say, Aaron, like, I've invited 5 friends, and they're all my closest friends, and they just don't want to come. And they refuse to go to church. And I was like, dude, like, that's the best you can do. Right? That's all you can do. You can give them the invite. You can pray for them. You can continue to have the conversation with them if they're open for it. But that's it. And the most important thing to remember, guys, the reason why people fail in this area of being gentle, okay? Here's a nice little picture for you, by the way. Oh, that's nice. The reason why people fail in this area of being gentle is, that's your friend, by the way, okay? Don't crush them. The reason why people fail in this area is, once again, they're afraid, okay? So you rush into a conversation and you just kind of blurt out your faith, and people are like, and that turns them off. Or you come into the situation saying, if I don't get this person into heaven, then they're never going to go to heaven, and I need to do this now, so they need to listen, and if they don't listen, then it's better that I just ruin my relationship than for them to go to hell. And you're right, but you're still coming about it wrong, okay? So, people fail because of fear. People fail because they think they're in control of the outcome, okay? The interesting thing about sharing your faith is that who's the one who works on the individual's heart?
Not us.
Not us, right? Who changes your friend's heart? Very specific aspect of God we're talking about here.
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is the one who works on the heart. The Holy Spirit's the one who's working on your heart right now. Okay? So when you're talking to your friends about faith, you're just the vessel that God's going to use to get that message into them. And then that seed will hopefully grow and flourish, and God, through the Holy Spirit, will change that person's heart. You have a very important role to play in that. You have to present the gospel. You present the good news. You offer them the good news of the gospel. It's up to them to receive it through the Holy Spirit. Okay? So you have not failed if all your friends say no. It's very important for you to realize. It might take your friends till they're 50 years old to remember that conversation they had with you when they're really down one day, or even when they're at the best time in their life, and they're like, what do I do now? And they remember that conversation they had with you back in high school. And they say, maybe there's something to this God thing that so-and-so talked to me about. Right? And they go to a church, and you never know what's going to happen. But if you guys don't tell them, and if no one tells them, then how can they hear? Right? That's our job. Our job is to present the gospel. And it says, always be prepared to give an answer, and do this out of gentleness and respect. And our respect for our fellow human beings, our respect for other people, will be the defining factor in how they see your faith. So when you're presenting this gospel to them, they'll look at you and they'll say, this person's really respecting me while they do this? And, like, that's okay. I'll tell you guys, you know, I'm going to kind of put my own youth group on the spot here a little bit. At our youth group, we have people who have all sorts of different belief systems coming into our group. A lot of the people who come to our youth group don't go to church on a regular basis. And I'm totally fine with that. You know why? Because that's who I want coming to my youth group, by the way. I want church kids and unchurch kids to come to my youth group so that they can mingle, so that they can talk, so they can develop relationships, so that people can share their faith and share their ideas and experiences. But one thing I do not tolerate in my youth group is people dumping their beliefs on other people. So when I always kind of say that whenever I start a new series and we have Q&A time, and it's like, guys, if you guys want to give your opinion, I will accept your opinion. You can say whatever you want. You can say, I don't think God exists. And I will say, thanks. Okay, what are your reasons for believing that? Well, this, this, and this. Okay, thank you for sharing. It's that simple. I'm not going to change a youth's mind on whether or not God exists by saying, well, no, you're wrong. He does exist, and you're going to hell for believing that. Right? Is that going to change somebody's heart? No. That's going to make them hate what you're preaching. Right? It's no different with you guys when you're talking to your friends at school. It doesn't mean that you don't preach the Bible. I do talk to people about hell. I talk to our youth about hell and all that. But I say, when it's time to share, when it's time to talk to one another, we're open to all different ideas. Okay? So, show people respect and love, and they'll want to listen to what you have to say. That's the important thing to realize. So when you're talking to people, first thing you need to remember is, it doesn't matter how gentle you are, you're probably going to experience some persecution at some point. Because people don't like to hear the gospel sometimes. Right? Doesn't matter how gentle you are as a person. The other thing you need to realize is that you need to be gentle. And I hope you guys kind of learned something new here. I have some personal Q&A for you guys. Now, does everybody here know the meaning of the word rhetorical?
Yes. Yes.
You do not have to answer these questions out loud, okay? So here's some personal questions to ask yourself. First of all, do I actually believe? If you've been raised in the church, do you believe in God? That simple. And I want to challenge you guys on this. I want to shake this up, stir the pot a little bit, because this is a question that church kids aren't asked often enough. Do you believe in God? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Or do you believe based on your parents' beliefs right now, and you don't really know what you believe? That's important for you guys to ask yourself, okay? Because you don't want to go through all of high school not knowing the answer to this question. Do you believe in God? If you are unsure, if you have some serious doubts about your faith, you can talk to any leader here, and we'd love to have that conversation with you. You can talk to me after the lesson. If you have trouble, research. It's that simple. Do research. Here's a great name for you to look up. If you're thinking, you know, if you're really struggling with the whole evolution debate right now, I know that a lot of Christians struggle with that. Is evolution real? If it's real, then how does Genesis doesn't line up with that, because God said he created the earth in 7 days. So how can evolution be real and then God be real? You know, you're struggling with that. Here's a great name. John Lennox. Write it down. Look up John Lennox on YouTube. He's a Christian mathematician. He's a professor at Oxford University. And he's a fantastic debater for Christianity on this topic. He's debated all the top guys like Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins and all those guys who wrote those books about evolution and how, you know, God is dead and evolution killed God. John Lennox is a great guy to look at. Another one is William Lane Craig. He's a philosopher. He's a fantastic debater. Okay? If you want to get better here, you have to do research. Research in the Word of God. Look up passages. You know, talk to God about it. That's another one. Probably the first one I should have mentioned. Do I actually believe? Well, God, if you're there, please help me to believe. Make my faith strong. Show me. Bring your, like, I want to see you, I want to feel you, God. Let me experience your presence. This is stuff that you can do if you struggle with that. The next one is this. Am I honest about my faith? At school, with my friends when we're hanging out outside of school time. Am I honest about my faith? Really ask yourself this question, deep in your heart. Am I honest with my friends? Or do I tweak just a little bit? Do I just, you know, turn a few knobs in my life to make me look a little bit different? If you're not honest, why not? Think about those three reasons why people don't share their faith. Fear, apathy, and unfaithfulness. And challenge yourself. Why am I not being honest about my faith? Am I afraid? If you're afraid, what can you do to help yourself? Maybe grab somebody from your youth group, who you go to youth group with, who goes to your school and say, hey, can we do this together? It's that simple. I've literally been driven mad by my youth group in the past. From right now, we're probably sitting at around 80% unchurched youth who were, well, it's growing into church youth because they want to come to church, some of them, which is awesome. But I was sitting at around 80% unchurched kids. But before that, for the first 5 years of my ministry, I had a large church group. So people who were raised at our church, going to my youth group. And it drove me crazy because they just weren't inviting their friends. They just weren't talking to them. They just would not. The worst part is that they wouldn't hang out with each other at school. That drives me nuts. I don't know why you guys do that. It's like you have your group, your youth group friends, and then you have your school friends, and you never hang out with your youth group friends while you're at school. It's like, why are you doing this? So if you struggle with that, like, these people are there for you. You guys are supposed to support each other as Christians. If you're struggling with sharing your faith with your friend, bring a youth group friend with you and do it together. Right? It's that simple. Beat your fear. The next thing is this. Do I witness to my friends and family? If not, why not? And we kind of just talked about that. Why am I not doing it? Family is a tough one, okay? If you guys have family who aren't Christian, that's a hard one to do. Those are the people you're probably the most afraid to share your faith with because they're your family. And if they reject you, then that's a really dark place to be. But you can do it through the power of Christ, and you have your church family there for you. And then the last one, am I humble? Am I a humble and gentle Christian? I hope you guys kind of learned something new. And if you guys have any questions for me, you can come up to me and ask. If you guys need help with this, like, my full-time job as a youth pastor, I'm not just there for the youth of First Baptist Church alone. So if you guys want to come in and chat, come to First Baptist Church during the week from Tuesday to Friday, 9-5. I'm there. And you guys can have a conversation with me. Just walk through the door. Yeah, questions? Go ahead. Definitely. No, I'm talking about the ones who do go to the same school. I've had experiences with that. But yeah, if you go to, like, I know a lot, like, one of my youth, for instance, goes to Terry. And he's the only one really in my youth who goes to Terry. He's a Christian. And so he feels alone, right? But this is why we have events like this. But if there's other of you, for instance, does anybody, I'm gonna call him out. Does anybody here know Caleb Quinn? All right. So he goes to Terry. Connect with him if you go to Terry and you're a Christian. That would be awesome. But that's what I'm talking about, right? There's people who struggle. Any other questions about this? About how to share your faith, all that kind of stuff? I'm open to anything. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Let's close in prayer, and then you guys can go to your next activity. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, God, for this time that we've had together to just be challenged on sharing our faith. Lord, this is something that I believe we all struggle with as Christians, because this is the Great Commission, and if there's one thing that the enemy doesn't want us to do, it's to share our faith. And so for the Christians in this room, I pray that they would be bold, but they would also be gentle and respectful. I pray that they would step out in faith and trust in you, being willing to share with their friends, knowing that they could experience persecution. They don't know, but they could also lead someone to Christ. And so I just pray, God, that you would help us to be active Christians instead of apathetic Christians. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, thanks, guys.